This is Dr. Larry Wilson, and the subject of this program is the amazing power of sauna therapy. Saunas, which is sauna is a Finnish word for a hot air bath, are truly amazing. They are the most impressive single therapy, perhaps other than nutrition, that I have come across in years. They affect every level of your being, especially certain types of saunas. And this includes many subtle levels of our being. They are a most powerful healing and perfecting method that is very, very critical today. Very. We cannot fully describe all these benefits because we're still learning about them. And so the best thing we can do is to describe some results. Let's talk about cancer. We are using sauna therapy for cancer patients. Dozens of them are responding. And they're responding in ways that we hadn't seen before. And that is to say, these are advanced cases, multiple myeloma, for example, and I am working with others on this who are specialists in this field. And they say to me, we couldn't have saved this person before. We could not have saved this person. We couldn't have broken down the tumor so quickly. There's no way that we could have done it. Cases such as heart disease. And by the way, this applies to all types of cancer. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, uterine cancer, many types. Heart problems. Cardiomyopathy patient reports that he was told his heart was markedly dilated and his time was limited. 2 years later, after using an infrared lamp sauna, every day, his heart is only mildly dilated, and the doctors cannot understand it. And I've heard this from a number of cardiomyopathy patients. Teeth infections and infections of all kinds. A woman recently told me she had been tired for 10 years with chronic infections. Viral infections, yeast infections, all types of infections, Lyme disease. And now she's up and about and her energy is back. And that only took 4 or 5 months of using an infrared lamp sauna on a daily basis. Teeth is a very important area where people have chronic infections. Sometimes they're called cavitations and people have infected root canals and other things. And a man in town had, after using a sauna for about 5 months, all of a sudden, two teeth flared up. There was a huge, his jaw swelled up and was intensely painful. He had no idea he even had a problem there. He went to the dentist. It was x-rayed. They told him two teeth were abscessed, had to come out immediately. And fortunately, he brought the x-ray to me and said, what do you think? And I said, I don't think you need those teeth out. I think this is an old infection that's coming up to be healed thanks to the sauna therapy and all the other things he was doing for his health, which was mainly just to eat well and take a few supplements and to rest and have a healthful lifestyle. And sure enough, I told him to continue with the sauna and, in fact, to use a single lamp, red lamp on the sauna, on the area of the jaw 5 or 6 times a day, preferably say 5 minutes every hour. This lamp is a red infrared heat lamp, the common type that you find in hardware stores. And within 3 days of doing this, the abscess burst open. He had a mouthful of pus and blood, and all his pain went away, and his teeth have been fine ever since and required no intervention at all. The sauna is truly amazing in the range of problems that it addresses. Toxic metals. I was amazed when I did my own sauna therapy twice a day for, say, started out at 30 minutes per day, 30 minutes a session, up to an hour per session for a year. The amount of toxic metals that came out of my system after doing many, many therapies to eliminate toxic metals before that. Toxic chemicals will come out of the body in ways that very few, if any, therapies can bring them out. This takes a while because it takes some time to activate the skin as an eliminative organ. And the skin then spares the kidneys and the liver and helps to eliminate all sorts of toxins, volatile chemicals of all types, organic chemicals, pesticides, solvents, and many others will come out through the sauna. The sauna can be used for drug and alcohol detoxification and for general health and well-being, for psychological and emotional issues, and much more. So that is a brief introduction to the amazing power of sauna therapy. Saunas address most of the pressing concerns today, and that is environmental chemicals, toxic metals, chronic infections, and a whole range of emotional and other ailments, radiation poisoning, that are plaguing millions of people. Now, the secret of this therapy is that it is a combination of effects. The effects are a combination. And let's go through some of those effects and discuss them. I will go through them in some detail. They are described in the book, Sauna Therapy, that I've put together. But let's talk about them in some detail. One of the most powerful effects of a sauna is to inhibit the sympathetic nervous system. And it does this two ways. One is to by heating the body. Normally the sympathetic nervous system is responsible for heat production. And when the body is heated from outside, it does not have to provide heat for itself, and it shuts down that system. It attempts to turn off that system. Now, why is that important? Because many, many people are chronically overstimulated. The sympathetic or fight or flight nervous system, part of the automatic or autonomic nervous system, is overactive in many, many people, especially those who are ill. And when that system is active, it shuts down digestion and elimination. I shouldn't say shuts down, it inhibits. It slows down elimination of all types of toxins, as well as digestion and other functions. And so any therapy that can reduce sympathetic nervous system activity and increase feedback parasympathetic, which activates digestion and elimination, is a very important healing, very powerful healing method. And there aren't too many methods that can do this. Things like meditation, relaxation, slow exercise like yoga and tai chi, these things are helpful too. Sauna is very powerful in this way. Heating the body does a lot of things, and one of them is to reduce sympathetic nervous system activity. Another effect of heating the body is to blood moves toward the surface of the body simply to get rid of the heat. It's sort of like turning on your air conditioning system. You sweat and you move the blood toward the periphery. And that also opposes the sympathetic system. The sympathetic system tends to draw the blood toward the internal organs, and it causes congestion of the blood in the internal organs. The sauna reverses that process, which decongests those internal organs, which is very important in all in itself. And by moving the blood outward, it enhances circulation greatly, and it tends to reduce sympathetic activity, which, as I say, tends to move the blood inward. So this is a very important principle. The main thing that a sauna does, by the way, is supply heat from the outside, and as the body heats up, it tries to get rid of the heat. And it does this by sweating, by moving the blood toward the exterior, and by shutting down its own heat production. And this is the secret. And this alone should give you an idea that letting the body get cold or stressed in any way is not helpful, where reversing this process is very important. Now let's discuss sweating, because sweating alone is a great benefit of saunas, and what it does is it does many things. One of the things, of course, is it cleanses the skin. Now the skin is a very huge, it's the largest eliminative organ of the body. People think of your skin as just the covering of your body. That is not true. It is much, much more. It is a very complex organ, a very complex organ system, really. It has, you know, sweat glands, oil glands. The skin breathes. Some people remember the Goldfinger movie where they painted the girl with gold and she died. And this is true. You cannot cut off, first of all, anything that you put on your skin, you absorb. That's the first thing. And secondly, there is actual respiration through the skin, oxygenation of the body. And unfortunately, today, most people's skin is very inactive. It is toxic and it is congested. This is due to a combination of factors. Even wearing clothing, and especially a lot of clothing, excessive clothing all the time, and especially synthetic clothing, cuts off circulation of the skin and tends to make it inactive. This is one reason why people have acne on their face a lot, and other rashes sometimes, is because the skin on your face is the most active skin in the body because you haven't covered it up all the time. And the synthetics tend to do this more because they don't breathe. Many of them do not breathe. The fabrics don't breathe. And this goes on from the day you're born. Another thing that happens is bathing in water that's filled with chemicals. And this is everyone, basically, because almost everyone uses municipal water where they've added chlorine, and it's got, because of the chlorine, it's converted into other chlorinated compounds, a lot of which are quite toxic. Also, many cities add other chemicals. Perhaps the most harmful is fluoride, and you're bathing in that. And aluminum compounds are added to many city drinking water systems, and perhaps other chemicals. Also, even if they don't add chemicals, today the water supplies are almost all, the city water supplies are contaminated with a wide variety of PCBs, dioxins, heavy metals, solvents, and other types of chemicals that have been put into the earth. So you've got clothing, you've got bathing, and then you have skincare products that many people are putting all over their skin, not realizing that they all have, almost all of them have toxic substances in them, and they're being readily absorbed into your skin and slowly making the skin toxic and congested. Now the sauna reverses all this, because once the skin is toxic, it doesn't sweat much, it's not active as an eliminative organ, it doesn't breathe well, and it just doesn't do its job very well. The sauna slowly undoes this. It is not an overnight process. And if you read in a physiology book, it says in the Guyton textbook of medical physiology that it takes weeks to months to acclimate to sweating, to acclimate to sweating. Now, this is not simply the reactivation of the skin. It has to do with the adrenal glands and the retention of sodium and things like this in the sweat. However, part of that is the reactivation of the skin and the sweating mechanism. I know that for myself, and I considered myself a healthy person at the time that I did my sauna therapy program, it took about 6 months before my sweating fully increased. It kept increasing and increasing, and the textbooks say that you will increase 3 to 4 times the amount of sweat over a period of months. And it was very interesting because areas of my body would start sweating that weren't sweating before. And it's just a fascinating phenomena to watch and to realize how shut down the skin is. So skin activation is huge because you can eliminate almost any toxic substance that can be eliminated, say, through the kidneys, can be eliminated through the skin. The fluid that comes out of the sweat is somewhat like lymph, and the lymph carries away many, many, many toxins. And then there's breathing through the skin, respiration, oxygenation of the skin, also just dilating the peripheral blood vessels of the skin, which helps relieve internal congestion of the organs, and it helps heal many infections and other things because circulation, good circulation, is required for healing. Skin usually gets much more moist and looks better and so forth. Okay, the sauna does other things. It is very good for relaxing tendons and ligaments and enhancing the flexibility of these structures. And this includes blood vessels and the muscles, enhancing the blood flow to the muscles, helping them remove toxins from these tissues, from all the tissues, actually. And this is simply due to greater circulation and inhibiting the sympathetic nervous system and releasing toxins that are stored in these tissues. And this has a wonderful effect on pain. A lot of pain is due to toxins and congestion in all sorts of tissues and structures, tendons, ligaments, muscles, joints, and so forth. It has a wonderful effect on relaxing the body and general health. The sauna relieves pain by a number of methods. And this is a comment that people have made to me. Patients with chronic pain have said, well, I go in that sauna and my pain goes away. And they'll do it in the middle of the night if they develop more pain. Now, it won't work on all kinds of pain because it depends on the cause. But if the pain is caused, for example, by muscle tension, which in turn can pull your back out of joint, muscle tension can cause ischemia, which means a lack of blood flow to a certain area of the body, and this can cause intense pain. If the pain is due to muscle tension, can cause tendons and ligaments to be pulled out of shape, muscle cramps, all sorts of things. The sauna can relieve all this. I've seen a single infrared lamp, red infrared lamp, release back pain, for example, with a single application. That alone was amazing to me. So relaxing the muscles, enhancing the flexibility of tendons and ligaments, reducing pain associated with all these structures is a large effect. Now, there are a whole other set of effects which have to do what I call the second phase of a sauna session. In the first phase of a session, your body temperature does not increase. Your body is able to handle the heat. It is able to get rid of the heat of the sauna through enhanced circulation, moving the blood to the periphery, sweating, and shutting down its own heat production. Those are the mechanisms that the body uses to compensate or handle the heat that's being applied. However, a point comes in a sauna session, and the point may come after, well, it can come after 10 minutes, after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, where it cannot get rid of the heat. The body simply cannot get rid of the heat. And then what happens is the body temperature rises a few degrees, say 1 to 4 degrees Fahrenheit usually. Now, this is another basic physiologic effect of saunas, the second phase of a sauna session, we'll call it. And this has a whole number of other effects. Heating the body, first of all, is a powerful immune stimulant. I have a quote from a book in which a gentleman claims that 1 degree of heating stimulates white blood cell production and immune function dramatically, and that it's a very important function, heating the body. This is fever therapy. Hyperthermia is the fancy word. And it's been known for many, many years, hundreds of years, possibly thousands. Fevers are used to heal illness. And the effects are multiple. There's a speed up in metabolism, and there's specifically a speed up in the immune system, but also in many enzyme systems in the body. Now, this is particularly important today because many, many people, especially adults, have a low body temperature. Many, the majority of adults, have a low body temperature. This is due to low thyroid, low adrenals, pituitary problems, you know, toxic metals in these organs, and other things. And so their bodies are not functioning optimally. The enzyme systems are not functioning optimally. And what the sauna may do is simply bring their temperature up to normal. That's how it was with me, I know. The sauna would bring my temperature up to, say, 99, which is, you know, that's just barely normal. But the effects were dramatic because just raising the body temperature a few degrees activates the enzyme systems that are designed to operate at optimum body temperature and then enhances immune system function. Now, what are some of the effects of this? Well, first of all, improving the immune system means the body can go after infection much, much better. Anywhere in the body can go after infectious situations. That's a huge one right there. And so many times these infections will flare up and become healed. And we have had cases where, for example, most people, and I learned this through the sauna therapy, most people have 6 to 12 chronic infections going on at all times. At all times. You don't realize it because the definition of a chronic infection is that it doesn't kill you and you don't kill it and it just sort of sits in there. It may flare up from time to time, and it's given various names. They may call it sinus trouble, an earache, a joint pain, you know, tendinitis, or something else. So there are many names, depending on where it's located. People have funny little things where they can't turn their head, or they'll get dizzy. Well, that's usually a little inner ear infection that isn't bad enough to really warrant a lot of attention, but it's there. It could be a toothache that comes and goes, a little sensitivity up there in the gums or the teeth. The common sites are eyes, ears, throat, sinuses are almost universal, joints, intestines is a big one, and other areas. And, of course, many people have chronic hepatitis and chronic all sorts of things going on. Now, another effect of heating is that bacteria, many microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, fungi, and others are heat sensitive, and the heat weakens them. They don't do well in the heat. And so as the body temperature goes up, not only is the immune system strengthened in the body, but the susceptibility of these organisms to destruction increases. And so this is another way that the heat therapy works. And among those are cancer cells. And it is well known that hyperthermia is a treatment for cancer, that the cancer cells are susceptible to heat. Now, hyperthermia in some countries and some places is done with wrapping in blankets or hot baths, where they take your body temperature up very high to about 106, and that's rather dangerous and has to be monitored very, very carefully. Since it would do brain damage. The sauna is a slower method. It doesn't take your temperature up that high, may get up to 102, 103. However, by doing it on a repeated basis, it accomplishes some of the same effects of the hyperthermia for cancer. There was an old therapy for cancer called Coley's toxins. It's still available. Dr. Coley was quite a well-known cancer specialist at the Sloan what today is the Sloan Kettering Memorial Cancer Center in New York. And he discovered, quite by accident, one of his patients had a large sarcoma on his neck, and he developed erysipelas, which is a bacterial infection, but characterized by very high fever. And the tumor regressed. And he watched it. I mean, he watched this patient day by day. And he was amazed. And what he did was he cultured some of the bacteria from the erysipelas, and he started injecting it in people and causing results. He was getting results with this kind of cancer therapy. So, and this is still available in Mexico. And so this is the idea that the cancer, the fever, has a curative effect on the cancer. Raising body temperature also helps destroy damaged cells, cells that are filled with chemical toxins, cells that contain a lot of toxic metals, and other types of cells, such as mutated cells, cells that are mutated by radiation, for example. And so heating the body has multiple effects that are wonderful. Now, another effect is through getting rid of radioactive cells damaged by radiation and mutated, that we can slowly improve a person's genetic situation. In other words, what happens today, and this is not discussed too much, but it's a very important problem, is that we're all exposed to some ionizing radiation. This is from, you know, bomb fallout, radioactive accidents from the Cold War, use of radiation in society, medical x-rays, radioactive dyes, smoke alarms. There's a fair amount out there. Food irradiation machines and so forth and so on. All the medical offices, dental offices and so forth. And the ionizing radiation damages the DNA a little bit. And while some cells die, some of them are able to reproduce in a mutated state, but they don't work that well. And then those cells reproduce more. And as we get older, we get more of these mutated cells. And this can lead to illnesses such as cancer and others. And so what happens is, by heating the body, it helps destroy these weaker cells, because the mutated cells tend to be weaker. And that prevents them from reproducing. And so as you do this repeatedly, over a year, maybe 2 years or more, you help get rid of damaged tissue and damaged DNA that's reproducing itself, and in that way improve the genetic material in your body, the overall genetic material, and improve your health. Okay. Heating the body does other things. It increases the heart rate and greatly enhances circulation. Now, circulation is enhanced in phase one of the sauna session, but it is more, even more so in the second phase, because there's the increased temperature, which affects, it works through the ions, the muscle membranes, and the heart self-excitation process increases the heart rate. And this increases circulation more and improves all the things related to increased circulation, which is increased blood flow to organs, oxygenation, decongesting the organs, and so forth. Okay. Also, the heating helps resolve infiltrates and edema, you know, through improving circulation and so forth. And a research area is improving the production, or causing the production, of heat shock proteins. This is an interesting area. I will not spend a lot of time on it because it's a research area, but in the last 20 years, we've discovered that there's an alternative genetic pathway. When the body is placed under stress, and this was first discovered in plant cells, but has been found later in animals, all animal cells, when the body is placed under stress, and heat is one of the prime ways to do it, it produces something called heat shock proteins. And these are proteins that rebuild the body. They basically, normal protein production ceases or slows down, and this other line of protein production occurs in the cells, which helps restore the cell. It helps restore the cell. And so sauna therapy may well produce heat shock proteins, particularly infrared sauna therapy, which penetrates deeply. Okay. So these are some of the benefits. And these all work in combination. And that's the power and the amazing thing about sauna therapy. Now, infrared adds another dimension to this, because some of these effects happen, a lot of these effects happen with regular saunas. There are three types of saunas. The traditional sauna is a room with a heater, basically. And that heater has to get up to 150 to 210 degrees or so, because it doesn't penetrate inside the body, and that much heat is required for the full effect. There's a second type of sauna, which is the far infrared type, which is some emitters in the walls of the sauna. This is a popular type today. It's about 30 years old. And then the third type is the infrared lamp sauna, which uses infrared heat lamps to heat the body. Infrared is important because it adds a number of benefits to the sauna. For one thing, it penetrates and it heats from within. And this is a nice benefit for a number of reasons. For one thing, the temperature of the sauna can be much cooler. The traditional sauna needs to be at 150 to 200 degrees, whereas the infrared types can be the far infrared around 130, and the electric lamp sauna, the infrared lamp sauna, at 110 to 115 because it penetrates even deeper. So that's important. Also, the penetration of the heat means more effectiveness and often more quick sweating, you know, faster sweating. Infrared also seems to enhance the activity of the water molecules because it is the frequency at which water molecules vibrate. It's the basic heat frequency, by the way. Infrared is heat. And the resonance quality of infrared helps to release toxins and other things. Infrared is also does other things. Now, infrared seems to have the ability to shorten cluster chains. That is to say, it helps release pollutants such as carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, heavy metals, and helps them precipitate and separate from water molecules. It reduces the specific gravity of water and enhances its adherence to cell surfaces. It helps the absorption of nutrients, and it helps the elimination of wastes. It helps remove telomeres from DNA. These are little tags that are attached to DNA molecules, and infrared seems to help reduce this. And this seems to be something which helps reverse the aging process. This is a research area, but there is evidence in this direction. It is a nutrient. The whole infrared spectrum seems to be a nutrient, and there's a lot of research on near-infrared and its great benefits for healing. Infrared reduces lipid peroxidation and enhances oxygen production. This is reported in the Japanese Journal of Inflammation, 1996, volume 16, number 6, November. So infrared has these effects, and they're very, very good. Now, the lamp sauna produces other effects. In addition, the lamp sauna produces the near-infrared, whereas the far infrared sauna only produces far infrared range, a very narrow range of infrared. The lamp sauna produces the near infrared, middle infrared, and a little far, and it also produces color therapy. My observation is that the research cited by the people who sell far infrared saunas is not all about far infrared. It often, if you read the papers, it was about infrared. And often they used lamp saunas to do the research. So there are some untrue claims out there by the people selling far infrared saunas. And our experience is that the lamp sauna is a better sauna. The infrared lamp sauna is much more effective. That has been shown with cancer and other things by practitioners. We don't have any double-blind studies at this time, although there are people interested in doing those studies, and I hope they will be done soon. Now, color therapy is another thing that any sauna can be converted or color added to it. It's very nice because people are mostly unclothed and you're sitting in there for half an hour. It's a great opportunity. The color therapy of the infrared
is red, orange, and yellow, which are the lower chakras or lower organs, which are the liver, the kidneys, the intestines, the adrenals, which is very good. That's where people need work, need attention, the organs of elimination and the adrenal glands. The reddish color also seems to act on the emotional body. Any sauna can be fitted with lamps, and color therapy is a wonderful therapy, which is beyond the scope of this program, but is highly recommended. The lamp sauna, where you turn around in the sauna, also causes more vigorous circulation because one part of the body is heated, then you turn and another part is heated. Also, with the lamps, you can focus the energy on a particular part of the body, which is very nice because sometimes if there's a knee or a shoulder or a sinus area that needs a little more attention or teeth, you can focus the energy by leaning your body toward it. Very good. So this is a basic understanding of what the sauna does. Now, one might say, well, why not use hot tubs or steam baths and other things? Well, those are all good, actually, for heating. However, there are other benefits of the sauna. The sauna, you tend to sweat a little bit more. The problem with baths, including the steam bath and the hot water bath, is that you pick up the toxins from the water. Now, if you're only doing a bath, you know, once a week or every now and then, that's fine. But for therapy, we're talking about using this thing every single day. And so that's a big difference. And you pick up poisons from water. Now people say, well, I'll just sweat when I exercise. That's not the same because in exercise you have to generate the heat and that turns on the sympathetic nervous system. And what we find is that the sweat is not the same when you exercise as when you use a sauna, and you eliminate more toxins when you use the sauna. The reason is that the sympathetic nervous system is turned off by the sauna, and it's turned on by the exercise. And so when you exercise, you're getting your organs of elimination are not working as well, kidneys, liver, and so forth. Okay, that's important. And then people ask me, well, why not just do fasting if you want to eliminate poisons rather than saunas? And the answer to that is it's, again, very different. Fasting, and I worked as a health director at a fasting spa for 3.5 years. Maybe it was about 3 years. Anyway, fasting, the problem is it was disappointing, the results. People are very toxic today, very depleted, much more than when many of the books were written 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And some symptomatic improvement occurred, but many people get worse when they fast because they are so depleted to begin with. And I would say long fasts are dangerous. I don't recommend fasting long fasts. A day or two is fine. Okay, so these are important considerations. Now, many people ask about weight loss, using saunas for weight loss, and many people claim, manufacturers of saunas claim that you can lose weight in a sauna. I believe most of these claims are false in the sense that they say that you can burn 600, sometimes up to 900 calories in a half an hour in a sauna. I do not believe that this is true. I believe that they're getting that information from studies based on sweating. And so what you do is you find out how much sweat the person sweats out and then how many calories it takes to generate that sweat, and they assume, therefore, that you burn those calories. Well, I say that's true for exercise, when you have to generate the heat, but it is not true of saunas. I'm quite thin myself, and if I burned 600 to 900 calories every time I was in the sauna, I would have been a lot skinnier. Now, I did lose weight in the sauna, and many people do, but then I gained it back. I wasn't trying to lose weight, and I wasn't trying to gain weight. And I feel that was poor quality tissue that was simply eliminated, and then I gained back better quality tissue. So I would say that you don't just burn calories because you're sitting in a sauna. However, and I don't like those false claims. Every time I have an opportunity, I mention that to the manufacturers. However, I do feel that a sauna is excellent as part of a complete weight loss program. And that's because of many things. For one thing, The sauna helps remove the toxins that are found in the fatty tissue. And that's a problem with weight loss. Many people quit weight loss programs because they start feeling bad. And one reason they feel bad is they're eliminating toxins that are stored along with their fat. And the sauna can help get rid of those things as the fat tissue breaks down. Also, the increased circulation helps break down the fat. Fatty tissue can have poor circulation, and it's one reason that people do not lose weight, is their very poor circulation. Also, by normalizing digestion and elimination, the sauna can help relieve cravings for a lot of foods that are not helpful, sweets, starches, and other things, because the cravings are caused by toxins and other imbalances. And as these things are removed from the body, the cravings diminish, and this helps your weight loss. Also, improving your autonomic nervous system is very important to help your digestion and elimination. And this can be of great benefit for people who want to lose weight. Finally, just enhancing cellular metabolism helps the body burn your food more efficiently, burn your calories more efficiently, and this also can help with weight loss. Okay. Saunas also are a way to heat up the acupuncture meridians, by the way, and this is another research area. The acupuncturists use moxa and the use of the needling sometimes to warm up or make more yang the acupuncture points and the body. And saunas have an effect like this, and an acupuncturist was the one who told me that. He said, this feels like sitting in a lamp sauna felt like burning moxa on his body. And so that's an interesting area of research. I will briefly go through sauna protocol, although this is described more fully in the book Sauna Therapy, and is a pretty large area of all kinds of cautions and suggestions and things. But the basics are that before sauna, it's good to drink some water. And that's clean water, not just any water. The best is filtered water, distilled water if you want to remove toxic metals, and spring water for mineralized water. That would be the best thing. Okay. Well, before I go into more of that, as far as how often to use the sauna, first thing in the morning, last thing at night are the best times because you're most relaxed, most parasympathetic. And when you're most relaxed, you will sweat the most and eliminate the most poisons. Okay? So that has the most effect. And as far as how long to remain in a sauna, always begin with about 20 minutes. If you're weak and ill, you may want to start with less. I've had people start with 5 minutes because they're afraid of reactions. So it's fine to start with less. Do not start with more than 20 to 30 minutes because you will have healing reactions. And I've had a lot of people become discouraged and say, oh, this is no good, I'm feeling funny. Yeah, because you started with too quickly and your body was not used to it. Your skin was not, your skin was still congested and toxic. You're not able to eliminate the poisons very well. And the sauna is very powerful. So start with 20 minutes after at least a week, but several weeks better than that, and up to several months. For me, it was several months before I started to increase the time, because then your skin can handle it, your organs of elimination are working better, and you eliminate the toxins and can use that time. And you can go up to 40, 50 minutes, maybe even up to an hour. And that's usually plenty. And start with once a day. And sick people, we do have them do twice a day. Cancer patients, we often have them start with 3 times a day because you don't have a lot of time with cancer, for one thing. And secondly, these people are always, at least the ones I work with, are always doing coffee enemas so that they can get those poisons out. That's very critical. So that's the basic concept there. If you want to take your temperature in the sauna, you can see how you're doing. And that kind of thing. And sauna therapy is designed to be done for, I think most everyone could use a year, at least 2 years would be better. Now, we started to talk about drinking water before going in the sauna. This is very important. I would say at least, at least 4 ounces of water before the sauna, and it's probably better to drink 8 ounces of water before a sauna, depending on how hydrated you are. That's very important. You can drink during the sauna as well. For a more powerful experience, drink before and after, because drinking cold water, especially during a sauna, will somewhat dampen the experience a little bit. But drink 8 ounces before going in that sauna. Okay. Usually you don't wear clothing in an infrared sauna. In a conventional sauna, traditional hot air sauna, you can wear a little clothing, because it only heats you on the inside, on the outside. But an infrared sauna heats you on the inside, and clothing will interfere to some extent with the penetration of the infrared rays. They will go through clothing, but it will interfere a bit. Now, as far as some people suggest doing mineral cocktails and niacin and other things before you enter a sauna exercise, I don't use those. I find they're unnecessary. I don't say that they're bad. Exercise, it seems to me, turns on your sympathetic system when we want to turn off the sympathetic. So I don't use exercise, but some people do. Niacin is a peripheral vasodilator, and it will open up the pores in the peripheral vessels. However, I don't find it necessary, but some people like to use niacin. I feel like at the high doses, several grams, which is often what's recommended, it can be perhaps a bit toxic. So I don't use that. And as far as the mineral repletion, the putting back minerals that you're going to sweat out, yes, that is important. And the simplest way to do that is with sea salt and kelp, because your sweat is rather salty. And so I do recommend eating some sea salt, and I recommend kelp as a very inexpensive and complete mineral supplement. I don't think that you have to go with very fancy mineral replacement drinks, and I definitely do not recommend Gatorade or Recharge or one of those drinks, because they're high in sugar. And I think all the sugars upset your system and should be avoided, basically. We'll talk more about that. But the sugars or fruit juices are too sweet. Okay. During the sauna session, I think it's nice to have a little towel to wipe off sweat, sit on another little towel, relax, and then after the session, for 10 minutes, lie down. Take a quick shower and then lie down. It's good to wash off the toxins. If you're too weak or you don't want to take a shower, at least towel off and then lie down for 10 to 15 minutes. That will allow your body to re-equilibrate. And it's very important. If you just get up and run off, you will not get the same benefit. Supervision during a sauna can be important. You will have healing reactions. Most people will have something. If it's just a skin rash, headaches, times, whatever. It is nice to have someone to call, or at least a book to look in, because they do occur. They're not a problem. We'll mention a little more about it later. If you're ill, by the way, with a cold or a flu, often shorter sauna sessions and more of them is better. Shorter and more sessions, say 10, 15 minutes, 5, 6 times a day. Now, as far as cautions and contraindications, the basic thing is that for young children, they should avoid saunas, say 5 years old or 6 years old or less. The reason is they don't sweat as well. Their bodies have a higher percentage of water, which means they can dehydrate if it's not careful. And it may be harmful for them to have a lot of infrared. So I just feel that for safety's sake, there needs to be more research on this, that the young children should not do a sauna. Over age 6, generally fine, just have to watch and make sure the children are okay. They should be in there with an adult. If you used a lot of LSD or psychotropic drugs, you will eliminate drugs from storage, and you can have flashbacks of the symptoms of whatever drugs you took. And so you have to be aware of that and have someone around if it's an LSD type of drug. Some people are heat sensitive, such as people with multiple sclerosis, and need to, again, have an attendant present. High blood pressure, folks usually do well. Same with diabetes, usually do very well. If you have metallic pins in your body, they may heat up. Silicone breast implants, things like this, prostheses, jewelry. You may have to watch if they heat up. Usually you stay on your medication, although sometimes the properties of the medication will be increased by the sauna because circulation is increased. Menstruation is not a reason to avoid sauna use. Pregnancy, more research is needed. In Finland, the women go in the sauna during pregnancy. Infrared saunas, less research. So we need to know that. And for now, I say if you're pregnant, stay out of the sauna or no more than, say, 10 minutes in an infrared sauna. Probably in a standard sauna, it's better. Okay. Elderly people, that's not a contraindication. Just use caution and less time. Okay. Don't stay in a sauna more than, say, an hour and a half at a time. With the traditional sauna, in some clinics, they keep people in there with breaks for several hours. With an infrared type, I would say 2 to 2.5 hours a day is maximum. It's best to wait after a meal. Do not go in a sauna right after a meal. Wait at least 1 hour, and 2 hours is best. And saunas and alcohol do not mix. You could fall asleep. You could fall over, and there's other problems. Talking and working, reading books in saunas, not highly recommended, but it can be done if you need to. If you have sensory nerve damage where you don't feel heat, be careful in the sauna. As long as you feel the heat, you'll get out when you need to, and you'll turn if you're in a bulb sauna, whatever. But it's important to be able to feel the heat. Don't overdo the sauna. Remember, when you're starting, 20 to 30 minutes, and work up slowly. Be careful with pets, by the way, because people sometimes want to bring their cat in there. Pets don't sweat very well sometimes, and they can overheat in a sauna. And you should know that you can overdo a sauna, and the danger signs in a sauna would be a rapid elevation of your body temperature. If you stop sweating, if your heart started racing, or your skin got very, very red, or you felt extremely faint, if these things happen, you should get out of the sauna. You've had enough. Now, saunas are used certainly for detoxification. That's their most common use. And there are, you know, obvious reasons. The heating of the body, the sweating, the improving of the circulation and oxygenation, the deep tissue penetration with the infrared, all these things help with getting rid of toxins. And I'll just mention some concepts here. We find that people are very toxic, and it takes a year to get to detoxify, at least a year or two. In other words, even this, the bulk, not all of it, because I'm still detoxing now, years. The toxins are layered in there. There's no one who just has mercury poisoning or just has a little pesticide poisoning. These things are one on top of each other, and you'll see that as you do use your sauna, they will come out little by little. Also, as the bad metals come out, they are replaced by the good minerals. And this is called preferred minerals. Each enzyme has a preferred mineral that is the ideal mineral for that enzyme system. And the process is very much a replacement of parts like this, replacing the toxic metals and minerals with the good ones. The sauna helps with detox by enhancing your energy production, by inhibiting the sympathetic nervous system, by helping the organs of elimination, and so forth. There's a lot going on, and the sauna helps detoxification in many areas. Now, in addition to the basic sauna use, sitting in there, there are things you can do, and one of them is to visualize and use meditation techniques. The simplest would be just to imagine absorbing the heat and the warmth and the rays of the sauna and having them penetrate throughout your body. And visualization can help you reduce resistance to the sauna, because at times people will resist the effects of the sauna. You can also certainly do meditation, relaxation, breathing exercises. A very good one is to bring energy down the front of your body, and then as you inhale and then as you exhale, bring it up the back, up the spine, in a sort of a circle that way. Or just bring the energy down into the body, and on the exhale, distribute the energy throughout the body Either one of those is very, very good to activate the chakras and help with the process of cleansing. So the sauna is an ideal place to be using meditation and visualization exercises. Another excellent thing is sound therapy. And all you need to do is put a boombox or a speaker near the sauna or inside, on top, whatever. And there are different types of things. You can just use relaxing music to help you calm down. We sell a little CD of low-frequency tones that seem to vibrate the organs, and that's good. You can certainly do conscious breathing. You can work with your posture. You can do neck rolls and other exercises like that. Color therapy we've discussed. Another one is aromatherapy. Don't put oils on your skin, though, when you go in a sauna, because the oil can heat up and burn you. But to have a drop of oil in a little plate or a burner or something, that would be fine. Don't put it on a lamp either. Just put it in the sauna, and that would be just fine. Now, some people want to add steam and ozone to their sauna. Ozone would be good for some people, but I don't use it usually. It doesn't seem to be necessary. But ozone is good. Steam is usually not necessary. And I don't recommend exercise either with some people combined with sauna therapy. The other thing to combine with your sauna program is a general health program. I can't emphasize that enough, that saunas alone are great, but much better is to add to that or combine it with an excellent quality diet, clean water, and a very healthy lifestyle, like lots of rest and sleep, not overdoing on exercise because you want to conserve your energy for healing, and other aspects of a good lifestyle. Basics of a good diet, I would say protein is very important with sauna therapy because protein is needed for detoxification in the liver, and the toxins are often carried out in a chelated form, that means bound to amino acids. And the sulfur amino acids found in meats are particularly important. The sulfur amino acids, taurine, methionine, cysteine, and these are mostly found in your eggs and meats. Dairy products are usually not as helpful. Vegetables are wonderful. Don't recommend much fruits because the sugar content is too high. It upsets your blood sugar. And some good quality fats and oils are okay. Not a lot of poor quality, certainly. And basic condiments. So a good diet is excellent and helpful. Good eating habits. Sit down when you eat. Chew thoroughly. Eat slowly. Make meals a pleasant experience. These things are basic, but it's often forgotten. People are in a rush, in a hurry, don't want to prepare meals, and so forth. Other excellent aspects would be some basic nutrients, certainly if you need them. We talked about kelp tablets and sea salt. Make sure your bowels are open. If you're constipated, take bile acids or magnesium. Don't use mineral oils. You can use colonic irrigation and enemas if needed. And many people would benefit by multiple vitamins, digestive enzymes, glandular support, and other things. Adequate rest and sleep is critical as a lifestyle thing. You'll find you will sweat more when you're rested. Everything will work better when you're rested. Healthful relationships, obviously to be in a healthful environment, a restful environment, if you can take time off of work. Many people report to me that when they had their vacation from work, they did so much better and they felt so much better because they're not wearing themselves out. So anything that will conserve your energy, keep your lifestyle very simple, don't take on extra projects, don't take on a lot of volunteer work and running around, all this stuff just gets in the way of the healing process. Doing something beneficial with your time is good. For example, if you're just doing healing, sometimes that's not good. You get caught up in yourself. If you can do a little bit of something else, even over the phone, not protesting, but just doing other things, that can help keep your mind balanced and even. Okay, and we've said, do not stop medication. You need to talk to a doctor, the prescribing doctor, or read about it during sauna therapy. I'll briefly go through how the sauna affects various systems of the body. The cardiovascular system is one of the systems that benefits greatly, greatly. There's a lot of research, mostly out of the Orient, on congestive heart failure, cardiomyopathy, hypertension, arterial sclerosis, and general cardiac rehabilitation. Saunas provide a lot of the benefits of exercise, believe it or not, because they help circulation, they help oxygenation, and they help relax the body in many ways. Of course, they don't burn calories and things like this, but they do increase your pulse rate, they increase your cardio output, and they cause sweating. So for people who cannot exercise or who are in rehabilitation of any kind, saunas are wonderful that way. Saunas have been used for multiple chemical sensitivity for years. William Ray, Zane Gard, many others, Dr. Root in California, these people have used saunas for getting rid of toxic chemicals and drug addiction and that sort of thing. So the use of saunas for addiction purposes and drug detoxification, this is where L. Ron Hubbard started his purification rundown program. And they claim to have treated over 500,000 people. And there are programs like Narcanon and other addiction treatment programs that use saunas extensively. By the way, after the 9/11 disaster, saunas have been one of the very few things to help the firemen and other people exposed to all the toxins at the World Trade Towers. For pesticide exposure, chemical exposure, radiation exposure, saunas can be very helpful. Saunas are also wonderful for nervous system disorders. The sauna helps relax the sympathetic nervous system. It helps circulation, which can help pinch nerves and peripheral disorders because it helps the peripheral circulation so tremendously. Even closing oneself up in a sauna, many people report, is the only time they really have to themselves. When they shut out the entire world and they use the sauna as a place of meditation and retreat and prayer. Throughout history, saunas have been used for communal gatherings and for spiritual places by the sweat lodges of the Indians and so forth. So the nervous system disorders benefit also. Anxiety and mood swings and even depression. Musculoskeletal conditions often benefit, things like muscle spasms, lumbar strain, bursitis, arthritis, whiplash, sciatic pain, soft tissue and connective tissue disorders. Many of those tissues have poor circulation, and the warmth and the increased circulation and the infrared penetration is just wonderful for many musculoskeletal conditions. Of course, the sauna is marvelous for skin conditions, and there are very few skin conditions that do not respond to the sauna. Everything from skin infections, opening the pores, acne, eczema, psoriasis, burns, getting rid of scars, things like leg ulcers, postoperative edema, sun damage, sauna is wonderful. Ear, nose, and throat conditions, again, because these areas often in the sinus areas don't have good circulation, the ears, the sauna is very good for sore throats, ear infections, and this kind of thing. Some people report benefits for seasonal affective disorder from the infrared lamp sauna. Even though the infrared lamps do not produce any ultraviolet to speak of, perhaps a tiny bit. They do report benefits there. And there's probably a little bit of vitamin D production, although again, infrared lamps do not produce much infrared. Eye conditions, digestive disorders, reproductive disorders, all these can benefit. Digestive because the circulation to the digestive organs and turning off the sympathetic system greatly assists diarrhea, gastroenteritis, candida albicans, parasites, diverticulitis, ulcers, colitis, and things like this. A lot of your menstrual conditions benefit also because, again, of the concentrated energy and the turning off of the sympathetic system. So there are many, many conditions, and there's a need for much more research on all the conditions benefited by a sauna. Now, in addition, even a single red infrared lamp shining onto the part of the body can be very helpful. But since this is a program about saunas, we'll focus on saunas. Now, the area of infectious disease is such a huge one and such a wonderful one with the sauna that it really deserves its own program. But we've had a lot of people with Lyme disease, chronic infections, viral, fungal infections, parasitic infections, on many, many types of infections who have reported excellent results. Similarly, cancer patients are using the sauna with wonderful results. We don't make any claims for any illness, and this program is never a substitute for medical advice or for or prescription or diagnosis or treatment for any condition. However, our experience, our feedback, is that it's helping many, many cancer patients. The final topic I want to go over is healing reactions, because it's important that anyone undertaking a sauna therapy program know that part of what goes on are what are called healing reactions, sometimes also called flare-ups, or they can be called purification reactions. Sometimes they are called retracing reactions, the reversal process, or exacerbations. These are words that are taken from different healing arts to describe the same thing. They are basically a flare-up of a symptom as it is becoming healed, or say an infection that goes from chronic to acute as it's being healed, or some kind of shift in body chemistry as a result of changes that take place. It can be the elimination of a toxic metal that gets dumped into your blood, and as it is on its way out, it circulates in the blood and can give you a headache or a toxic feeling in your stomach or something like that. It can be if, let's say, an antibiotic is dumped into your system, well, it can wipe out the flora in the, if it's dumped from the bile, it go into the intestine. Believe it or not, antibiotics are stored in the body. All drugs are. Or if it was caffeine from coffee usage in the past, it will make you irritable and jittery for a while, and then it goes away. So these are healing reactions. And it's important to know that they occur because they do, some type, usually occur with most people. The most common are skin reactions, rashes. Those are common. And so I'll quickly go through a few items on this list. First, how do you distinguish a healing reaction from something that's getting worse? It's important to know this. Five questions can help answer this. The first is, was the person following the entire health program, including diet, rest, vitamin supplements, and sauna use, correct use of the sauna? If they were, most likely it's a healing reaction. If they were not, it's less likely a healing reaction, and it could be a disease reaction, meaning they're just getting worse. Another question, question two, was the person feeling better before the reaction occurred? Many times, healing reactions occur when you start to feel better, because your energy starts coming up. And as the energy increases, it increases until it's sufficient to initiate a healing reaction. Just when you're feeling good, boom, you know, you get a cold or a sore throat or a skin rash or something. If you had been feeling worse all along, it's less likely due to healing. Three, had the symptom occurred in the past? This is, we ask this because often old symptoms will recur, old aches and pains. I went through old injuries on my elbows and my wrists and my knees, shoulders, all kinds of old stuff. If it was, it is more likely, though not always, a healing reaction. Fourth question, are the symptoms unusual? Many times during a healing reaction, the symptom picture will be strange. For example, the person may have a cold, but they may not be tired, may have a sore throat or a headache, but they may feel okay otherwise. In other words, it's not the usual pattern. That's often the case. And
Fifth, how long has a symptom lasted? Healing reactions usually are fast. They may be vigorous, but they often end in hours or a couple days, a week maybe. But if it lasts, you know, more than a few weeks, it may be a worsening of the condition. I did retrace hepatitis on my program, and that lasted a couple months, but that's a very severe infection, and it, you know, have to work it through. It's important to know that these healing reactions can be emotional as well as physical, because as you eliminate physical toxins, sometimes there's an emotional feeling that goes with it. Cadmium makes people feel exhausted. Copper is associated with irritability. Iron with anger. And so there are connections between these things. And it's normal as the body chemistry shifts, a person can feel depressed or anxious or start crying. That's okay. That is normal. Okay. The main thing with the healing, handling these reactions is mostly just supportive. I've never had to send anyone to an emergency room or doctor, although I have had people go there without telling me, usually wasted a lot of money and time. The most important thing is rest. Eat lightly. You may want to discontinue nutritional supplements. Extra detoxification procedures like an enema are often helpful. You may want to vary your sauna session. Sometimes more sessions will speed it through. Sometimes it's best to take a rest for a day or two. So those are some basic supportive reactions. It's good to have someone to call. Don't try to do it yourself, because sometimes you get scared, you think you're getting worse. And if you talk to people, it's very important not to just talk to friends or doctors who don't understand healing reactions, because they're liable to get upset and send you off to some, you know, emergency room. So that's an important point. Very well. If you're going to build a sauna, which you can do, sauna design is important. And we have a book, Sauna Therapy, that has a whole chapter on sauna design, because you want the sauna to be the right size so it heats up correctly and the heat doesn't go up too high. You don't want too many lamps, but lamps are helpful, the infrared lamps, and there are a number of other considerations. So saunas can be built at home inexpensively if you don't want to buy one, and they just do. We have had people do very strange things because they just kind of let their imagination go in building a sauna. It's good to check in. My website is also a good source of information. Very well. In conclusion, we want to say that sauna has been around for thousands of years. One of its benefits is that it's a well-proven modality. This is not something new. However, with the pervasive presence of toxic metals, chemicals, radiation, drug-resistant infections, sauna therapy is just wonderful. Cannot say enough good things. We have testimonials in many, many areas, and it's just a wonderful therapy. It not only helps detoxification, infrared helps even more. It's a nutrient. It's a place to employ other therapies. And it is my hope that saunas will take their place in the home like a television set. Everyone will have one. Everyone will use it, because they will realize its great value for general health, as well as a great value to combat all kinds of infections of all types. And with this, we will conclude this program on the amazing power of sauna therapy.